broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 6th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 2 at 2, and our goal remains the same: protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. The blueprint for liberty is the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, the checks and balances put in place by our founders, inspired by the Almighty. Absolutely brilliant. And the solution. We don't need revolution, ladies and gentlemen. We need the solution, which is the Constitution. We need restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The principles that made America great can do it again if we have pure application of those principles, and it starts with morality and the people. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. Last hour, we had on our buddy named Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. We talked about the 185th semiannual conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's a general church-wide, 15-plus million-member worldwide church conference. And we talked about Mormon leaders who outlined support for marriages for man and woman, one man, one woman only. We talked about plans to build three new temples. That's where Mormons are married for time and all eternity. They don't believe until death do you part. They believe in eternal families and eternal marriages that last beyond the grave. That's an important point to make when we talked about Easter and the resurrection of the Savior Jesus Christ. Anyway, they have the new temples on the Ivory Coast in Africa, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and Bangkok, Thailand, to name three of them. Church leaders focus on families and service at the general women's session of the conference. Yeah, they even have a session for women. The church shares because he lives, Easter initiative. Anyway, bottom line, it was a grand conference weekend for the 15 million and growing members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Lowell and I had a chance to break that down. Kurt Crosby's with me on the road. Welcome to the Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. So they talked about faith and family and liberty and the Savior Jesus Christ and the fact that he lives. They talked about marriage. They talked about multiplying and replenish the earth. They talked about three new temples where Mormons believe that there are covenants made that keep families together beyond the grave. Just wonderful things happening at that conference. Any little tidbits to add to that, Kurt, before we move on to the topics of the day?
Well, you can sure see why people are concerned with having, you know, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in their neighborhood and in their community speak, you know, with such kind of talk and, you know, love and family and freedom and faith. You know, you can see why that comes
and Jesus
is among Americans. Huh?
Yeah, especially when they start talking about Jesus. I'm just saying.
You know, and then you hear about the continued expansion around the world of their message. You know how it's amazing to me how we can constantly hear these ideas of, well, it's a wealthy church, it's a rich church, you know, that kind of thing. And then you hear, a huge expansion in places where, in my opinion, some of the most impoverished folks are.
It certainly can't be money-driven, because I don't think they're going to garner a bunch of cash out of Haiti, Kurt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if you really look and examine the teachings of Jesus, it wasn't like he was like, oh, where's the rich guys, you know? He kind of did a little bit of service amongst the impoverished folks, didn't he?
Well, valid point as always. Anyway, to me, it was a feast. It was a spiritual event. When I say it was a feast, I'm talking about spiritually speaking. It was refreshing to hear about the Savior Jesus Christ. No doubt Mormons or the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints do understand the pain and suffering of the Garden of Gethsemane and the suffering on the cross, no doubt. But we like to choose to focus on the fact that he has risen, that he lives. And the resurrection, an important point to make when he invites us all to follow him, And then the reality is that we'll all be resurrected thanks to his gift. And to focus on the gift and the Easter season, the Passover, and the opportunity to become more like Christ. And that's really what the conference was about, how to become more like Jesus Christ, would be my kind of summary of the event. But anyway, it was a wonderful wonderful time had by all. And
you mentioned the term feast, so it makes me think of what you will be doing today with Sheriff Mack, eating pupusas, you know. And,
Kurt's going to miss out.
Yes, it'll be a feast. I'm 600-700 miles to the south.
And, well, what happened is I think that you and Richard Mack are playing trading places, sir. Because you went to Arizona and he went to Utah. Isn't that how it works?
That's right. And we've had a very nice time spending with five of our currently 17 grandchildren. And, you know, it's nice to visit with them and see them. And it gives you some hope for the future. You look into their eyes and you say, well, this is why we do the things that we do, to try to make America and the world a better place. It's nice to have that.
Amen to that. You also went to an incredible Easter pageant over the weekend celebrating the life and legacy of Jesus Christ, right?
Well, that's right. And I was looking at, you know.
See, I bet you the NSA is just going to track every move you make. And maybe the NSA folks, if they're following you around, maybe they'll, you know, pay attention to Easter too, Kurt. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, it was a tremendous event. I highly recommend it. It's been going on for a number of years. They have over 500 cast members. The average attendance is 7,600 a night. Just, I mean, it was beautiful weather up above the incoming flights for the Sky Harbor International Airport to come over every so often. But just tremendous event, beautiful scenery. I mean, I don't know if you find a better one throughout the world, a larger outdoor Easter pageant than that. And it was my first time being there. It was really great. I highly recommend it.
I'm going to have to make time and try to go one of these times soon. In stark contrast to the beautiful things we've been talking about, Governor Jerry Brown, California. Now, I know you thought he was governor like 30 years ago, and you're right. They just keep coming back, man. It's I don't know what you call it.
He's out living all over again.
Yeah. Anyway, Jerry Brown, California's governor, he says, hey, you be taking those long showers. You're going to be heavily fined, Kurt. They got a water shortage down there, if you haven't heard.
Well, and see, this will bolster their economy because think of all the new guys that can go around and be the shower police. You know, I mean, just knock, 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 you hear on your front door, and who is it? Well, it's the shower police. I'm here to check and see how long you've been in the shower.
We've been watching your water meter, and that sucker's been a-spinning for a long time, buddy. Actually, no, they got these digital new smart meters, buddy, and they can just know.
Well, in the future, what we'll need is the governor will need to have, well, a governor, if you will. You know, there's governors on engines to make sure they don't run too fast, but, you know, you'll need to have kind of a Jerry Brown governor right on your water meter so that, hey, you know, your shower's over. You've already been in there a minute and a half. I mean, you know, that's it for you.
Now, here's the problem.
It's all for the good of America.
Here's the problem that I have with this, Kurt, is there is legitimacy to say it's expensive to clean the water, you know, so that it can be used without, you know, any problems with the water, so that it's okay to take a shower or to drink. And, you know, there's legitimate expenses for that. There's legitimate reasons to conserve water. Not that there's less water on the planet, but what we're talking about is usable water for the human race that doesn't cause problems or issues or, you know. Okay, I get that. I get the general idea that God gave us the earth and we need to be good stewards of it and take care of it. I accept all that, okay? What I don't accept, though, is the governor probably wants to fine you to take a long shower. Except for him, I mean, he can take a shower as long as he needs. I mean, after all, he's the governor. And see, this double standard, this reality check is the kind of the problem that I have. Also, the idea that we're not going to at all look to the provider of water. for this discussion. We're just going to say, well, golly, you know, we got to have the government fine you. And I don't really see that putting more money in the hands of government and less money in the hands of the American family is the answer to the water crisis.
Well, that way they could take that money, Sam, and buy the water from places like, you know, farmers and stuff like that. You know, they just seem to forget.
Yeah, so then you'll be able to take long showers and you won't be able to eat because the farmers won't have water and they won't be able to produce food. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, people will be skinnier and we won't have that obesity problem in America.
And then we can take all the corn that can't grow and put it in your gas tank so you can drive around hungry. I mean, these people are crazy. And the problem that I have is the political manipulation about this that's the issue. When are we going to get on our knees in sackcloth and ashes and say, man, we need the Lord, the author of liberty, the provider of water to bless us? And what can we do to qualify and beg for those blessings, huh?
Great point.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so the people didn't get a vote on this. The legislative body, the assembly, if you will, in the state of California didn't get a vote on this. Jerry Brown just created an executive order, and he said, hey, man, you take long showers, we're going to flat-out fine you. And my problem with that is I'm not sure that putting the money in the pockets of government at the expense of the family is the answer. And no doubt, I think we should have water reduction campaigns. I think we ought to really start to pray and ask for God's guidance and protection and ask for the rain. That's what farmers used to do. They were very humble. When they were worried about their crops, they'd hit their knees big time. They'd work hard all day and pray all night and hope for the best. And that's what we need to do, too. They'd have confidence in their God, though, that he would care for them. We're not doing that now. We're just simply saying, oh, government will solve it. ration your water or get fined and turn to your government for solutions. And I'm saying that's a bad idea. And I mentioned that there's a kind of a double standard. You know, Governor Jerry Brown probably doesn't have to worry about the showers he takes, but you and I would have to worry if we were in California. And usually what happens in California spreads to other states as well. The Rocky Mountain region probably next on the docket for water rationing. I get that we need to take care of the earth and be good stewards of it. What I don't get is government inserting themselves as the control mechanism. And that's kind of my problem here. Is this really about conserving water or is this about control? And usually what happens is government will put this fine in place, but then, hey, once the water starts to flowing again, then they won't get rid of that restriction. They'll just leave it there and say, hey, you know, had we rationed water better earlier, we wouldn't have had the problem, so we got to leave that rationing in place. It's kind of like those temporary taxes. You got temporary water rationing. So that's kind of the question. Now, I mentioned that the elite don't have to live by the rules they force us all to live by. That's kind of the issue. Or they, I should say the rest of us. Here's a perfect case in point. Kurt, it turns out that a baby was born on the highway. And the reason why is the highway was shut down by the presidential motorcade, Dateline, Louisville, Kentucky, or Louisville, Kentucky. A woman gave birth while stuck in traffic on a highway in Louisville, Kentucky. Barack's to blame. His motorcade was in the way and the highway was shut down. And a big old traffic jam was caused by the motorcade. Barack. Now, what do you think about this? I get that the president needs security, okay? I accept that. But you know what? A couple of bodyguards, you know, a car or two around the president, I accept. But this idea that this motorcade is going to flat out shut down a whole highway to where this lady can't even get to the hospital in an emergency to get her baby delivered, and that the president takes precedence over her absolute medical need, is beyond imagination. This is where we've become in America, where we think these leaders are that important. And I don't mean to be rude, but whose life is more important, the mother and baby or the president's? And we've got this idea where, hey, she had to have her baby on the highway basically because of Barack. Kurt, what do you think?
Well, Sam, as far as I can tell, there's no truth to the rumor that the baby will be named Barack as well. You know, but, you know, when you look at this whole deal, it's just one more instance. I mean, it's like a water story out of California. You know, we've been told in the past the reason we have to have higher, for example, cigarette or tobacco taxes or higher alcohol taxes, it's all for our own good. It's so that we don't consume so much or whatever, and we stay away from the evil thing. And so that's kind of the water deal. And I suppose, you know, in the case of the baby being born on the freeway, that, you know, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, you know, he just needed to be there, of course. And I mean, all that presidential travel and all those vacations, all that kind of spending, stuff like that is just, well, I mean, it's just
the idea that his wife and himself would have to travel to California with two complete separate entourages on the same day because, golly, they really couldn't coordinate their schedules. This kind of stuff is just the stuff of elitism that's got to stop.
Yep, you're exactly right. Wouldn't it be refreshing to hear of them saying, hey, you know, we're heading to California. We got our van or whatever. I understand that there's, you know, security details and all that kind of stuff. But just so many times you hear of all this out of control spending that just is incredible. You know, usually right after you hear that, hey, man, we got to sequester all this money because, you know, times are tight.
Now, just imagine if Barack said, hey, security people, government people, listen to me carefully. I know there's conflicts on my schedule. I understand all that, okay? But I'm telling you right now, you're going to figure out the scheduling problems, and you're going to have me and my wife together on that flight. You got it? I'm just telling you. You got that? Now, if I were president, those are the kind of statements that I would make. And I'm telling you, I don't know what's in the wife's schedule or the, you know, I don't know if it's Malia. I don't know what in the daughter's schedule, the wife's schedule, that would preclude them from somehow arranging the schedules. Now, even the president's schedule can be arranged for family.
And really?
Absolutely, Kurt. Because what kind of a message would that send to America if we really did that, Kurt?
Yeah, just imagine that. You know, I mean, now the trick, though, Sam, is let's say you're Barack and you really don't want to be with Michelle, you know, at least in my opinion, then I guess you got to find some scheduling conflict.
Then I'd recommend repentance and humble on-your-knees prayer to solve that problem.
Good point.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. I guess Dateline Politico's in the news, Kurt. I guess the Politico Caucus Insider's view is that Rand Paul has strong early state contender position because of the legacy of his father, huh?
Well, you know, they're saying that, and it's, you know, at least you've always heard the whole story of you got to have a good ground game, and they're not typically talking about football in this case when they're talking politics. But you've got to have these supporters in place. You know, my problem is, as I see the whole Rand Paul ground game, or, you know, plan or whatever, it without some real reason to get enthusiastic supporters enthused, if you will, then, you know, I really don't see much activity. On the other hand, you know, I'll bet you in about 2 minutes you could tell them, here's the things that you need to come out and say you're going to do, that would enthuse the groundswell of Americans, the ground troops, if you will, and, you know, it'd be a presidential campaign like you've never seen before.
Well, the first thing that Rand Paul would need to do, in my opinion, is what Ted Cruz has already done, and that is announce your candidacy for president, Kurt. Rand hasn't even done that yet.
Well, as far as I can tell, that'll be happening
tomorrow. Yeah, it's tomorrow. Yeah, absolutely.
He wanted to make sure and wait till after the NCAA championship, you know, so that the news was not focused on all of that. That's what it looks like, according to Drudge.
I want a president that decides to wait till after the March Madness to announce his candidacy, because that really makes for an incredible president. I'm just telling you right now. When you talk about scheduling conflicts, when you cater to March Madness as a president, I'm telling you right now, that's a man of stellar character.
Well, you know, the sad thing is, in America, in my opinion, is sports pretty much it's something that rules the
that's a good point,
world, if you will. And so if you really do want he who owns the media to kind of cover you, then you better make sure and fit their schedule, right?
Yeah, you're right about that. I guess folks are building a new water park, Kurt, and folks are questioning the timing of that?
Well, it's in an area of California, you know, like you mentioned earlier with the story about Jerry Brown, how they've got such shortage and stuff like that, and yet never mind governments, competing in the world of water parks, kind of like when governments compete in the world of golf courses. So it's just one more area that government should be participating in. But yeah, they've got a big plan for a whopping new water park. It does include a lot of water, so that's one of the reasons they're, you know, catching a little flack.
Well, you don't need to take showers anymore. Just go to the water park. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. This half hour is brought to you in part by Raw Honey. How would you like some raw honey in your household? I'm telling you, it's fantastic on toast. It's fantastic in just about anything. Raw, fantastic tasting honey. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby. He'll let you know more about the details and how you can get honey delivered straight to your door. Raw honey. It's not even government tampered with honey. You know what I'm saying? All right, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. This half hour is also brought to you in part by The Power Hour. Go to thepowermall.com. Incredible specials this week. As the week unfolds, we'll be highlighting the specials available at thepowermall.com. Check it out today and support them and tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. Would be grateful for all the support you can give them. They've got incredible food, incredible preparedness supplies. Thepowermall.com. Check it out today. All right, Senator Mike Lee's in the news. Kurt, he's not too happy, is he?
Well, you're right. I kind of wish that, it was a lot more bite than bark, but at least it looks like he's saying that, hey, man, we got to straighten up when it comes to the Supreme Court and other things. But one thing I wanted to mention before we go on there is that you said I was supposed to remind you about, telling folks about the special bargains at the Power Hour. Of course, you just did that. But anyway, it helped remind me to remind you, so I really appreciate it, though.
I'm glad for all those reminders, I'm just saying. All right, Senator Mike Lee rips Supreme Court justices and the Congress for what, subversion of the Constitution? And well, I think he's right, Kurt.
You know, this is like really some new news, at least for me. I mean, just think, Senator Lee saying somebody's not following the Constitution. At least I'm grateful he's saying it, huh?
Well, and that's the point is that, you know what, again, I'm not here to debate if he's right or wrong on every topic at this point, but I'm saying when he says that, he's right.
Yep, good point.
And he's right on a lot of issues, even though Mike Lee is not right on many other issues. Like, I think his foreign policy is whacked out as can be, personally. Uh-huh. I don't think he gets it when it comes to foreign policy. He's like a warmongering, I don't even know what. But again, that's what the Republicans do. That's what the hawks do. That's what the, okay, but still, can he be right on a lot of things? And can we support him on what he's right on? Absolutely.
Great.
So there you have it. And by the way, we don't need to go to the Supreme Court justices for everything. And that's part of the problem in America. We need a whole lot less going to the federal courts to solve everything and a whole lot more nullification at the state level, a whole lot more of reducing funding for government, a whole lot more of accountability on a personal level. When you violate the law, just because you're a government bureaucrat, that doesn't mean you get the skate, the grasp of the law. It means you have personal response. We need guidelines and laws that put in place this personal responsibility issue. Hey, you violate the law and you're not protected by the government now. You're on your own. Don't do that.
Didn't the states create the federal government?
Well, when you say that, Kurt, you got to be very careful. Because it was really colonies that created the federal government, not the states, sir. Because they weren't states until after they became the government, right?
Yeah, good point. But
your point is well taken that, look,
the power comes from there, you know.
Well, the power comes to the people through their states, that's right. And the Declaration of Independence basically says the just power is derived from the consent of the governed. So that's my whole point to these people when we talk nullification or any of these discussions. They act like we don't have the authority to do that. Or the debate about lands in Nevada is a great one, Kurt. Look, if we just flat out don't consent for the federal government to control our lands anymore, hey, that's the end of that, isn't it?
Great point.
Pretty simple stuff in my humble opinion, but we want to debate it till the cows, well, man, talking about land rights and the cows coming home. Anyway, there's a listener who emailed me, nicknamed TZ Kurt, and listener TZ was talking about vaccines. Okay, and here's what the listener TZ says. He's comparing guns to vaccinations, Kurt, and the headline says this. Guns are vaccine against crime.
Oh, yeah. Good job.
Why should anyone be allowed to freeload on the herd? In other words, if you don't have a gun, Kurt, just follow the logic. Here's what happens. The vaccination folks say this. Kurt, if you're unvaccinated, you're kind of the problem against the herd. You're like a weak point that could get the herd, like, ill.
That's right.
So you got to vaccinate, Kurt. Because if you don't, you're like a freeloader on the herd. See what I mean? Well, this guy's comparing the gun issue to that. He said, hey, man, any of you folks that aren't armed, why should we allow you to freeload on the herd? It's a great point. It's a fantastic point. And the problem is, though, if you just see the headline, it's kind of hard to understand. Because the headline says guns are vaccines against crime. Why should no gun people be allowed to freeload on the herd? Well, unless you understand the vaccines and the herd mentality discussion and everything, it's kind of a hard headline to grasp. But the point is, the listener's absolutely right. TZ nailed it and said, hey, what's going on around here? How come it doesn't apply in both cases? And, well, there's truth to that.
Yep.
In fact, speaking of that, there won't be any, wolves among the herd, Kurt? If the herd all was armed, the wolves would have to, like, take a hike.
Good point. You're exactly right.
All right. There wouldn't be any foxes in charge of them hen houses if all the hens had guns, right? I have little interest in streamlining government or in making it more efficient, for I mean to reduce its size. I do not undertake. Anyway, there's a big old headline, Kurt. What do you got with this one?
Well, it was Barry Goldwater, and I just...
Didn't
know,
Barry lose, Kurt?
My little brother's named after Barry Goldwater, but I don't really know the guy very much. I have one little book by him on my shelf that I've never really read, but I always heard that he was a pretty, pro-American kind of guy and that kind of stuff. And, you know, at least when you read that quote that he gave, at least that's attributed to him, you think, wow, oh, for a Barry Goldwater today, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of good prose here by Barry Goldwater. The problem is Barry lost, right?
Well, yeah. You know, as far as I know, he lost back in, what was it, 64?
Yeah, the reason I bring that up, though, is because we haven't had the opportunity to truly try out his policies, Kurt. We've had so many socialists and bureaucrats and professional do-gooders in the way that we haven't been able to try this idea. But he says, I have little interest in streamlining government or in making it more efficient, for I aim to reduce its size. I do not undertake to promote welfare, for I propose to extend freedom. My aim is not to pass laws, but to repeal them. It is not to inaugurate new programs, but to cancel old ones that do violence to the Constitution.
Yep.
Okay? Or those that have failed in their purpose, and those that impose on the people a, quote, unwarranted financial burden. I will not attempt to discover whether legislation is needed before I first determine whether it is constitutionally permissible. And if I should be attacked, listen, for neglecting my constituents and their interests, I will basically claim that their interest is liberty. And in that cause, I'm doing the very best that I can. Barry Goldwater. And I, you know what? I agree with those statements. And the only thing I really wish is that Americans would give that kind of a viewpoint a try, Kurt.
Well, and that's where, you know, this whole, we talked about Rand Paul saying that he's going to announce tomorrow because of the news cycle or whatever. And yet some of the news pieces I'm reading on him say that, well, he's going to try to make himself a, you know, kind of more agreeable to the Republicans and all that. And I'm just thinking, well, gosh, wouldn't it be refreshing if he simply took, I guess you could say, almost a play out of the old playbook, you know, the Barry Goldwater playbook, and said, you know, kind of went along with this kind of thing. Hey, I'm not really interested in new laws. I'm interested in getting rid of old ones. I'm, you know, and on down the list. I mean, it's just nice to think of what could happen. I mean, I'm sure you've got some potential counsel for Mr. Rand Paul that's thinking of throwing his hat into the ring tomorrow. But, you know, it just seems like it's just the same old stuff. And I hate to say it, but I sure hope he doesn't fall into that deal of just doing the same old stuff and measuring the waters. You know, wouldn't it be impressive if he simply said, look, hey, man, this whole party thing's been a problem forever. We're going to work to just completely get rid of that, be Americans, not Republicans and Democrats. And right on down the list, Federal Reserve, the IRS, you know, there's just a great bunch of things that could bring Americans together. And yet my fear is, and my worry is, we'll have the same old kind of campaigns. And, you know, speaking of bringing people together, he could unite all the different good candidates, you know, and say, hey, Ben Carson would be our, guy in charge of what we need to do to straighten out and make sure we don't have government intervention in health care, and right on down the list with Scott Walker, et cetera. But
wise counsel from Kurt Cosby. When we get back, I'm going to answer Kurt's question about, hey, what should Rand Paul do? I'll talk about it in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Cosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801 669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Kurt Crosby asked an important question, ladies and gentlemen, right before the pause. He said, hey, man, if Rand Paul or, you know, Mike Lee or Ted Cruz or who knows who should become the presidential solution for the Republicans or for the nation, what do you recommend they do? What do you think would make the biggest difference for them to do that would really, you know, polarize the discussion, get all conservatives to unite, stand for liberty? What would it do to take party out of the issue and make Americans important once again, basically erase the fault lines, bring people together? I think it's a brilliant question, and I think it's an important answer. And what I would like to do is I always talk about the whole goal of this radio broadcast is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Okay, and so I'd like to start with that and say, look, when it comes to God, I believe a presidential candidate and a president of the United States should always point people to the author of liberty. So when we talk about the drought, we could talk about praying to God. When we talk about Americans divided on everything, we could turn to God. Okay, we really need to make prayer, especially at this Easter time. From Easter in the spring to Thanksgiving in the fall, kind of an idea, and in between, we really need to turn to the author of liberty. And so I would really, as president, talk about that. Okay, God, family. I would talk about family being the fundamental unit of society. I would talk about we've got to preserve the family. When Sean Bergen, a reporter out of New York, basically says, hey, we got to have dads back in the families of these black children who are virtually killing each other, these black young men, they're just killing each other. They have no hope for the future. They just believe the hoods, the mentality. We got to stop that. Now, that is not a racial statement. We're saying that parents in homes statistically make a huge difference. When dad's around to discipline Johnny, when dad's around to provide love to his mother and teach Johnny how to treat women, then good things happen if dad's honorable. And we need honorable fathers that look to God and raise their family in that viewpoint, okay? I'm not interested in the debate on the keys to theology, but I am interested in that fact. You're not going to have liberty unless you point to the author thereof, and it's higher than government, it's the Almighty, okay? So I would do that as president, and I think Rand Paul has plenty of opportunities to point people to God, all right, and family. Now, when we talk about country, look, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, pure application of the principles that made America great would be fantastic. So, you know, when Rand Paul looks at things, he needs to educate folks why he has the stance he has, using the constitutional lens to help educate. Ron Paul did that tremendously well. We've got a lot of issues on the table that were never there before. We can do the same thing by following the legacy of Ron Paul. All right, when it comes to protection of life, liberty, and property, again, I'd go back and talk about the same thing. When it comes to life, we better be pro-life and really reject this abortion mentality, this pro-death policy under the guise of choice. We got to reject that notion in America, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to stand for precious life. So he needs to stand for getting rid of Roe versus Wade and make that a key component of his campaign. What a way to get the Christians and the conservatives and Americans on board who believe in the pro-life principle of the proper role of government. Okay, when we talk about liberty, I would simply say the only way we're going to have liberty is if we give states power back to create checks and balances. It stands in nullification. So I'd really double down and triple down on this nullification idea. Okay, and I would say, look, we cannot have liberty while the IRS exists. Flat out, shut it down. We can't have liberty in business while the EPA exists. Shut it down. We can't have liberty in health food and freedom to choose what foods you want to eat unless we shut down the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. We don't have liberty when these unconstitutional agencies exist. He really needs to double down on those things. Life, liberty, and property. He needs to come back and really endorse the idea from the Western states that, look, the federal government had temporary authority to manage lands. The lands are owned by the states and by the people, respectively. The federal government has no authority. He needs to double down and really back that principle. If I was president, I would sign an executive order that tells the unconstitutional, unlawful federal government to stand down. Okay, look, until we start to disassemble a lot of these regulatory bodies, these unconstitutional government agencies are spending us into oblivion, we're not going to have solutions, Kurt. And so I would use that pattern of the protection of life, liberty, and property, promotion of God, family, and country as my guide to restore America. We can have a great restoration, but pure application of the principles that were inspired by the founders is the answer. And I would double and triple down on that. You could take any item in the news and you could use that, quote, standard of discussion and really provide an education. And then no matter what, his campaign would really, in my opinion, take off. And you could unify people, as you wisely said, by saying, let's get rid of parties. Let's let you know who would be in my cabinet. You're not electing just me. You're electing a whole bunch of people. And our goal would be to audit the Fed. Our goal would be to have accountability. Our goal would be to promote pro-life. Our goal would be, okay, because the people that are not really for pro-life, are they really going to respect the proper role of government if they don't promote pro-life? Okay, I would, if I was president, I would talk about, look, you're not going to have highways shut down and babies born on the highway when I'm president. Sure, I'll have an absolute rock star security team to make sure that I'm safe, okay? But it's going to be lean and mean, and I'm not going to interfere with your life. I'm not going to pretend I'm somehow rock star, okay? I'm not going to do those things. So I think that his father's legacy is a source of strength for the Kentucky senator. I think that's really a critical point, and I hope Rand understands that as much as the rest of us. If he stands on the principles that his father stood on, he'll gain some incredible ground. If he doesn't, you know what? Then I would say he might not be the candidate I'm looking for. Senator Mike Lee rips on Supreme Court justices and Congress for the subversion of the Constitution. Rand could stand on the shoulders of Mike Lee there and say, you know what? He's absolutely right. And here's what we're going to do to rein in the belligerent judiciary. I'll file personal charges against those people if they continue to work outside the law and become activist judges. Look, they're there on terms of good behavior, not forever, no matter what they do. We're not going to tolerate this abuse. Okay? There's a lot that Rand Paul could do. He could start with the quotes from Barry Goldwater, Kurt, as you wisely pointed out. He could start with that kind of an education. Ronald Reagan did some of that. Rand Paul could triple down and do more of it. Okay? Let me give you another quick headline to kind of illustrate the point. There's a question in WorldNet Daily that says this. When should Christians abandon America? When should Christians abandon America? And the whole discussion relates to that, hey, America's been betrayed. America's going south. America's rejecting Christianity. And eventually the Christians will have to exist underground in America. It's getting so hostile. I don't disagree with those concerns and those points, Kurt. But what I would say is, when should Christians abandon America? The answer is never. When should Christians start to stand up and put their money where their mouth is and be involved in the solutions? Yesterday. And I believe that we, the people, if you really got a Christian candidate that provided proper leadership and really focused on the Judeo-Christian viewpoint of our founders, you could really rally the troops, Kurt. And that's what I believe Rand Paul should do. And that's what it's going to take. Even with Rand Paul's faults, Kurt, I would say he's the best guy so far that I see as presidential contender. Rand Paul's not perfect, but he's better than the rest, I think, Kurt. Do you have any quick comments on that assessment?
Man, it's brilliant, Sam. You've said it very well. I mean, it goes without saying you'd do all those things to return to the Constitution. You'd implement a whole new wave of freedom and liberty simply by returning to the principles espoused by our founders and uniting Americans in the cause of freedom and liberty, bringing back prosperity. Imagine all those states, not only places like Nevada, where 85% of the ground is federally controlled.
It's actually 84%, but you're right.
Okay, 84%.
Wait, it's 86, 14% for the state, right?
Well, it's just incredible, you know, to think there's a 150-year-old temporary agreement that is still in place that makes it so that the main industry in Nevada is gambling and prostitution instead of, you know, agriculture, mining, and so many other things that could be done with the property that they, well, the land that the God of Heaven put forth on us, and what you brought out in your speech there at the Carson City Capitol, where you said, this land is
my land, your land, our land.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Now, let me give you this example. Just imagine if the president said, hey, you know, we have prostitution and gambling is kind of the source of revenue in Nevada because we've stolen all their land and their natural resources. We're going to give those back. I will personally sue anybody who stands in the way. And furthermore, from a point of view, I'm not going to say by force we're going to stop people from gambling and from prostitution. But I do want to double down on, if we want the blessings of the Almighty for our liberty, then the more we embrace principles of safety and freedom, and the more we reject gambling and prostitution and abuse of God's laws, the better off we are. I invite the nation to pray with me that we'll have a turn of our hearts towards God, that we'll have no more desire to commit sin, that we'll have every desire to stand for family and one another, and that we'll have a service-oriented mentality to run around with random acts of kindness and act as the Savior would this Easter. I just imagine if your president started saying stuff like that, ladies and gentlemen. Do you realize what could be done in the land? Oh, it could be a blessing. So that would be my coaching, my counsel to Rand Paul. Don't divide on religion, but absolutely stand for religious principles that we all can agree on. The importance of God, family, and country. The relevance of protecting life, liberty, and property. And use that as your guide as you use pure application of the principles that made America great to do it again. And just imagine how excited the Christians could be about that kind of a message, Kurt. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Flat out of time. Kurt's traveling. We wish him safety in his travels. We wish all of you a delightful extended Easter. Remember the reason for the season is all I'm saying. We the people can and will restore our grand old republic. You going to help us? I sure hope so. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.